In the month of July in the year 24, we set out our sweet isle to explore. On its wide yellow strand, we built castles of sand and ate Twixes and bounties galore.
By the light of the moon, we swam in the lagoon with fishes green, golden and red. And there on the corals, we found a crown of laurels, so I picked it up and put it on my head.
Welcome to the Island of Brilliant,
the podcast that treasures everything that's brilliant in children's books.
Well, Frank, I can't help but mention the laurel that's upon your head.
Yeah. Do you like it?
It's quite a special one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gold.
I like it. It's natty. It suits you. It's better than that terrible sun visor that you had. Yeah, it's a big gold laurel. I suppose I should say heartfelt congratulations, because you are our new children's laureate.
Yeah.
Against all odds.
I think from now on... You shouldn't call me Frank anymore. I think it's a bit overfamiliar. I think you should call me your laureateship.
Really, I don't think that's in the fine print here. That's not what I've...
Well, there's going to be some changes round here. There's going to be some changes.
Do I have to bow? Oh, here we go. Here we go. I knew this. I knew already. Whoever made this decision, I hope you're happy.
Yeah.
You're going to go power mad, aren't you?
No, but I do think it's a good idea for me to change this thing a bit so that I become laureate for life and I'm allowed to, you know, pass laws. And...
That's your first change.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So go on then. Seriously speaking, what does this mean? What are you planning to do over your 2-year reign? And will it be a nice reign or will it be a terrifying reign?
It'll be a reign of terror. that's the thing I've chosen for my theme, Frank the Terrible. I think it's going to be a reign of terror. I mean, you know, we've done tons of research over the years. Everybody's done tons of, everyone knows all this research about the connection between reading for pleasure and educational attainment, yes, but much more importantly, happiness and resilience and empathy and all the things that build, you know, the apparatus of happiness inside a child. And if we've learned one thing the last few years, it's that happiness is really, really, really important. We're kind of in the middle of a sadness epidemic. And as children's authors, we hold the vaccine, you know. So I'm kind of done with advocating for that, for just sort of going around being nice and saying, wouldn't it be lovely? So I am going to sort of lobby, like seriously lobby, try and get hold of MPs, people with actual power, and address early years especially, which is where all the difference is really made. I'm having like a kind of summit meeting where people will be sharing sort of best practice, you know, people who work in nurseries, in primary, in schools, but also people in local authorities and metro mayors who have power, and talk about how to share that best practice and make it not a lottery if you get the best. Sort of find some mechanism for making sure that every child has a chance, has the right to be introduced to reading.
Well, that sounds fantastic. This is a slightly serious question, but I want to know what you think about this, because obviously, because we both work in children's books, we've been around these issues, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes feel like for people in power, talking about children's literacy, advocating for more libraries and all the rest of it, and I don't mean everyone here, but for some people, it feels like it's a bit of an easy win and it's a bit of a soft subject in a way. And that sometimes can stop things actually changing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone expects children's books authors to be nice and fluffy around this subject and educators because it concerns children. Whereas actually what you need is some real righteous anger for people to take notice and actually make change.
Yeah, I am kind of furious, to be honest. You know, you go to lots of schools, probably go to as many schools as a lot of school inspectors. And the main thing you see is inequality. There is no equality at all. And that's partly because this area is not taken seriously. I am angry. I am furious. All the information has been there. We've all been lovely about it and said, look at this lovely thing that we've got that should be shared. And, you know, there are some great successes. Cressida's campaign, you know, she's managed to get like 1,000 school libraries. But I think it needs to be universal. You know, I go to lots and lots of schools. I see no equality at all. I mean, the most remarkable thing about moving around this country is just how unequal it is. And there should be a kind of base provision for children's introduction to books and to reading because we know how good it is. I cannot understand how we've been saying this for all these years and it's only taken up by lovely people. It's got to be taken up by people who are not especially lovely as well. Because all the children matter, you know, all children matter.
Absolutely.
Every single child should have the chance. If you're read to as a child, you are granted an enormous, enormous invisible privilege. And if you're not read to as a child, an insuperable disadvantage is visited upon you. And that should not be happening.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have said it any better. And I'm excited to see you get angry and help you get angry. How are we going to do that from this island, though, Frank?
James Bond villains manage to dominate the world from their island fortresses, and I'm going to be doing that. You know, there's got to be a lot of weaponized dolphins and, you know, snatches from... I'm going to be using the Laureate's helicopter a lot to snatch world leaders and hold them here until they listen. That's
brilliant.
Plan going forwards.
Joseph Coelho has been looking after that helicopter really well, hasn't
really
he?
Really well.
I mean, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Cressida, when Cressida had it, it was a mess, wasn't it?
It was a mess.
It was an absolute mess.
Joseph is very environmentally aware. He had a pedal helicopter, as you know, and I think I'm going to go down a kind of nuclear route with it, to be honest. Needs to be, get it done, you know, get up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard that here first. New Children's Laureate has nuclear helicopter. Are you going to be, another serious question, are you going to be travelling around the country a lot? Obviously, as we know, Joseph Coelho, he was travelling around the country, joining every library, clocking up miles. Are you going to do a similar thing? Are you going to be travelling around the country?
Well, Joe's already done that. I think with the role there comes like a certain level of going to events, but I think my main thing, or the sort of distinguishing thing, is that I am going to call these conferences, which I'll, you know, put together and invite people to and sort of MC, where we pull people together who are already working with young children in early years, people in primary, people in secondary, and sharing their best practice, but also bringing people to those who have power and can make changes. It's a political thing.
Yeah.
Lots of the laureates have been out and about and talking to teachers and librarians and children, and that's wonderful. Yeah. But I think it's time at this point that we turned and faced power and said it's time you did something.
Well, that sounds phenomenal. Well done, Frank. I'm genuinely speechless because I can't even make a joke, Frank.
No change there, then.
Oh, I see. Back to normal, is it? Fine. Do you know, I could whip that golden laurel off your head at any time and this could all be over, France. So just remember that.
I know that you're going to.
Remember that. Yeah. No, well, I'm genuinely, three cheers for you, Fran, and I'm excited about the next couple of years. And you can bring me back loads of snacks
when you go
on the mainland. So it's good for me.
Yeah, I'll bring you back. I think it's the kind of place that they put little shortcake biscuits out and stuff like that. That's the kind of venues I've got in mind.
You're going to be dead busy, so I'm going to be the main reader on the island, cavorting through these books. And I've got a very topical one today to talk to you about. Seen as We're on an Island.
What's that?
New picture book by Michelle Harrison, illustrated by the genius David Tasseyman. Do you know David Tasseyman?
Oh, yeah.
He was the illustrator of Mr. Gum books. And this is a new picture book called There's a Beach in My Pants. And it's very funny. And it's about a girl. It's about a girl who goes to the beach with her mum and everything goes a bit wrong. And in the car on the way home, the little girl is moaning that she's got sand everywhere. She's got sand in her knickers. She's got sand in her hair. And they go home. And it turns out that little girl has brought the entire beach back home with her in her pants. It's brilliant.
Oh, wow.
So everything... like the ice cream truck, fish and chip van, loads of seagulls. It's hilarious. There's no real point to it other than just having a massive laugh.
But also it's funny because it's true.
It's funny because, you know, it is true.
We live on this beach and we know our hammocks are full of sand.
Exactly. So it's about that little truth where she shakes out a bit of sand from her pants in the bathroom. But then the sand grows and grows and grows and it clogs up the sink and the bath and the loo. And then there's just more and more and more. And it's there's a mermaid on the sofa eating a bag of chips. David Tasseyman's illustrations are one of my favourite things in all of children's books. They are so funny. Proper pure anarchy. Little bit Ralph Steadman-y maybe, but with a bit more charm.
Yeah.
She sneaks a load of pirates in her pants. they turn up, and it's just chaos. It's just absolute chaos. It's brilliant.
And it's just a great title.
It's a great title. There's a beach in my pants. That would be a lot of fun to read in a classroom, I think.
Yeah.
So, Frank, is there a beach in your pants?
There's no beach in my pants.
Good.
But I've been reading a very old picture book.
Okay.
I've been reading The Moomins and the Great Flood, which is 80 years old this year.
It never is.
Which is the very first Moomin book, but which I've only seen recently because it wasn't published here until Sort of Books republished it. It never came out in translation in Britain before. And they've published this really lavish version of it. It's wonderful if you're a Moomin completist, because this is the origin story of the Moomins. This is, you know, where the spider bites Spider-Man. And it's incredibly moving. It was written in a few days in Finland during the Winter War. And the Moomins are refugees, basically. They're looking for somewhere to live. They've been kind of ousted from where they live. Loads of it is very un-Moominish. There's one section that's sort of very... sort of the child catcher meets Hansel and Gretel, but the end is the Moomin house, and that's the beginning of all the Moomin stuff. So it's kind of wonderful, and wonderful to find that there's all this Moomin stuff in Tove Jansson's attic that you didn't know about, you know. And they've published it with Tove Jansson's notes in the back and the notes that she made about Moomins for people who were directing films or television shows or anything like that. And they're wonderful. The notes themselves are just brilliant. I think what's great about the Moomins at all is that, like, loads of kids' stories have characters that you kind of relate to because they stand for something, you know, like, so William Brown just wants to be left alone, Winnie the Pooh just wants honey, Tigger is a bit ADHD, Eeyore's very miserable, but in the Moomin ones, they kind of really stand for something that you could live by. So her description of Moomin Mama in the back of this book, which is just notes, is she never lets you know that she's been waiting for you, that's fantastic. That's something I'm going to start living by. I'm never going to look at my watch when someone arrives. Her first question to a stranger is always, when is your birthday?
Aww.
Because on your birthday, you get to choose dessert. So she never says, where are you from, or what do you do, or who are you related to, or what are you doing here? She says, oh, nice to meet you. When's your birthday?
That's a lovely question.
It's brilliant. And her description of Moomin Papa, which is the Moomin that I've turned into, is just brilliant. It says he's foolish, he idolises his family, but he's vainglorious, and he loves big waves, fires, whiskey, and shabby, dubious characters.
I mean...
he's attracted to shabby, dubious characters.
Wow.
Come on.
I mean, that's quite an accurate description of you.
And Little Mai, it says of Little Mai, she says, she will bite you, but that's not... doesn't mean anything, it's just what she does. And she's been adopted by the Moomin...
That's me!
Yeah. She's been adopted by the Moomin family because nobody else would dare.
Ooh. Well... Can I have that, please?
So it's gorgeous.
Can I have it? Have you finished it?
Yeah, and it's 80 years old and it feels, you know, so relevant. It's about home. It's about people being forced to move, not out of choice. And it's also about, like, what a family is, which is a very kind of raggle-taggle. There's a core family, but there's all kinds of waifs and strays attached to it, who are equally important and whose birthdays matter.
When's your birthday, Frank?
Well, it's going to be a national holiday from now on because I'm the laureate.
Answer the question.
The 23rd of September is going to be laureate.
23rd of
everyone's
September.
Everyone's allowed off school.
23rd of September. Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
National Bank Holiday on the 23rd of September.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Frank, you've got to ask me where my birthday is. That's how this works. Social interaction.
When is your birthday, Nadia?
My birthday is November the 24th. Okay. I've got plenty of time to get prezzies.
Yeah.
What's that? I can sense some very peculiar movement on the horizon, Frank. Can you? Look over that way.
Pass me my laureate's binoculars.
Here are your laureate binoculars. Shafts of golden light.
I was surprised the laureate early warning system hasn't alerted this.
It's a choir. A choir of angels.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yet also a disco ball. Who could it be?
Hooey. All right, Smashers.
I know that voice.
It is I.
It's Sophie Henn. Sophie.
Or is it Esther Williams?
Wow,
no, it is me.
It's not Esther Williams. It's Sophie.